Hopefully you can't hear everyone dialing in, but thanks for joining our conference call today for CTN shareholders. Obviously, I'm Sebastian Evans. I run NAOS Asset Management. I'm joined by Warwick Evans, who's a director or the chairman of NAOS Asset Management and also a director of CTN, and also Mark Bennett, who's a director of NAOS Asset Management as well, to help with everyone's questions today. I'll be referring to the same presentation slide which was lodged with the ASX about 2 weeks ago, and then I will be referring to some questions that have been emailed to me and the rest of the team, and then I'll open up the call to Q&A to everyone who has a question. So hopefully this should take me about 20-25 minutes to get through, and then we can get through to the question. Going on to slide three, we've done a national roadshow which we completed in late last week. So we went to five capital cities and met with as many CTN shareholders as we could to explain, go through this exact presentation. On slide four, I'll just a little bit of an explanation of who NAOS is. It's an important one to highlight. So NAOS Asset Management is a funds management business that operates solely in the listed investment company space. That is, 99% of our funds that are invested with us are invested in two LICs, being the NAOS Emerging Opportunities Company, or NCC, and then the NAOS Absolute Opportunities Company, NAC, is the ASX ticker for that. So NCC focuses in what we consider nano-cap, micro-cap stocks, and NAC focuses in more small to mid-cap style stocks, both with an industrial focus, both with a concentrated investment style. We see CTN fitting in right in between these two LICs. That is, CTN will operate in the micro slash small cap space. I think there's been a little bit of confusion trying to be made about, well, CTN is a micro cap stock, a micro cap investment vehicle. That will not be changing. Yes, the name will change to the NAOS Small Cap Opportunities Company, but the type of companies that we'll be investing in regards to their size will be maintained. Obviously, one thing we are saying is we'd like to invest in some slightly larger businesses, and the only reason that is because we don't want to sell our winners too early, which has been the case with CTN. There's no point owning a stock that goes from 20 million to 300 million and then you have to sell it. You want to try and let your winners run and cut your losses as quickly as possible, but the size of the companies won't be changing dramatically from where they are today. On slide five, that's the NAOS team, starting off with the board of directors on the, I suppose, the top row there. As you can see, there's five members of that board. David Rickards is the chairman and director of our two LICs. He's the independent chairman and was head of research for Macquarie Equities globally for a long time. Below that, you can see the NAOS team itself. So we're made up of nine members, five in the investment team, two that run business development and marketing, one senior legal counsel, and then our own CFO slash COO. We've been together for many, many years now. It's a very low turnover team. I think we've only lost one staff member in the space of about 8 years. So it's a pleasing organisation to work within. The next slide is, to be fair, this is actually, you'll see this is the first thing you would see as you walk into the NAOS office. And it states that it's impossible to produce a superior return unless you do something different to the majority. And what I mean by this is there's really two types of fund managers. There's one fund manager, and I'll get into this in later detail, that owns many, many stocks. And then there's another manager that is really paid to pick quality businesses that outperform over time, but pick a much smaller number, so they're a much more active manager. Obviously, the CTN portfolio, when we inherited this portfolio, had 85 stocks, and subsequent to that, you've received a return that's been, you know, very similar or worse than the index in some cases. If you look at our other two LICs, we only own anywhere between 10 to 15 or 20 positions at any one time. We're a much believer of quality over quantity, and we believe that our current shareholders are happy to pay fees for outperformance and strong long-term performance, as opposed to just building big funds management businesses for the sake of it. On slide seven, I'd say this is probably, if I was to take any slide home with me, or I suppose get it into my head, it would be slide seven. And if I suppose this has been missing from the CTN, in my view, from the CTN philosophy and for many, many years now. And it's really our five-point plan for CTN and restoring shareholder value to all 6,000 shareholders that exist on the register today. And the first one is being performance-focused. You know, LICs, in essence, LICs are around because it provides people and shareholders with the opportunity to gain access to a strategy that would be otherwise difficult to obtain. That's why they exist today, and that's what their purpose is. Our NAOS products, we are purely focused on performance. Both of our two LICs have been significant outperformers, and we have the flexibility and the investment philosophy we believe drives strong long-term outperformance, and that's what we want to replicate in CTN. With that performance, we want to build a sustainable growing dividend policy. We want to give people the ability to, I suppose, understand what the policy will be, but hopefully that policy will be able to grow. And as I've said before, hopefully that policy will be able to be fully franked over time, because franking credits are better in shareholders' hands than in the company's hands. The third one, and this is obviously, I know this has been a lot of discontent for many shareholders, is the discount to NTA with CTN. We want to close that as soon as possible, and we believe we have a number of methods that we can use to hopefully get CTN to trade at a premium like our LIC NCC does today. The fourth one is shareholder and management alignment. Obviously, I know people talk about, you know, fund managers taking fees out of an LIC, but I think when you look at our two other LICs, we are the largest shareholders in our LICs, that is directors and employees. We want to be aligned with shareholders, and that means we're very much driven by the share price and the dividend profile of the LIC, not just its fee base. And then the fifth point is marketing awareness and communications. Obviously, a lot of the feedback we got is this is the first time we've seen a CTN roadshow for many, many years. And I think it showed obviously in the small numbers of people who attended, but everyone said they, you know, they'd like to see us again, and we look forward to obviously coming back. But the point is it gives people a greater understanding of what CTN does, what the strategy is, how the performance is going and why, and it gives people transparency and comfort to invest. That's what's been missing from CTN for many, many years. You know, the lack of any transparency and, I suppose, persistence with any marketing and awareness and communications, and we very much want to change that. Obviously, over the last 2 weeks, we believe we've made a good step in that direction, but we believe we can continue to build on that momentum. On slide 8, just looks at the NAOS investment beliefs and philosophy, and I won't go through each of these points because I'm going to go through each of them on their own individual slides. So for the sake of time, I'll go straight on to the next slide, which will talk about a quote and then performance. And this quote on slide 9 looks at a quote from Warren Buffett, and it's one we preach here an awful lot. And it says basically that the gist of it is our policy is to concentrate holdings so that when we come across an excellent idea that we can buy a worthwhile amount. That's what fund managers should be doing. In my view, you know, good investment opportunities are very rare. So when you do come across one that represents excellent value on a risk-adjusted basis, you should have a meaningful amount in your portfolio, and that's what we do at all the NAOS funds. On slide 10, just looks at the first point being the focus on performance. So LIC shareholder returns are driven by one thing in my view, and obviously it's an easy one, but it's driven by NTA performance. Now that is driven by obviously the performance of the underlying securities, less the fees and expenses. If you can't perform, then your NTA can't increase. And then the second point there is if you can't perform, then obviously you can't pay tax-effective dividends. You know, that's something that's obviously, I know people say there used to be a policy of being 6%, 50% franked, but obviously having a fixed dividend policy is unsustainable if your portfolio performance is poor, which has been the case over the past couple of years. And thirdly, you can have a fantastic NTA but a very poor share price. So if people don't know about your LIC and what you're doing and how you go about it, then no one's willing to drive your or to buy your shares. And I'll give you a slide in here that, you know, you can see the underlying health of any LIC but it's by its shareholder numbers. So if more and more shareholders are buying a LIC and the shareholder numbers are going up, then it shows you that the health of the underlying, you know, business and the marketing strategy and communications is being very effective. Obviously, CTN shareholder numbers have been flat for many years now. Just on slide 11, that looked at the performance focus and the quality over quantity in our view. So, you know, many people have a perception that you can, the more stocks you own, the more your risk is reduced. And that is a fact. That is a very good point. But a lot of people don't talk about risk and return. So we're big believers that, you know, you can eliminate almost most market risk, but what you obviously get from that is an index-like return. If you want an index-like return, obviously, then you should own an exchange-traded fund or an ETF. In our view, the adequate number of holdings is anywhere between 10 and 20. So that eliminates the right amount of risk, but it leaves the potential for the right amount of return over the longer term. And that's what we've shown that we've been able to produce in our two other LICs over a long term, over 5 years. On slide 12, and I want to make this point quite clear here because it has been brought to my attention now a number of times. And it's interesting because something, you know, Contango is called a micro-cap company. I think names can be quite deceiving when you look at the underlying portfolio. At the end of the day, a lot of the feedback we receive and what our shareholders want is performance. So everything we're doing here and trying to change is to maximise the potential for performance. And the point I want to make is when a stock, any company is in the ASX 100, for example, it's not necessarily the 100 biggest stocks listed in Australia. It's the 100 most liquid stocks by total value. So they can be very liquid and they can trade a lot, and in dollar terms that means they will make it into the ASX 100. There are many large businesses that aren't in the ASX 100, 200 or 300, and I've named a couple here. If you look at REITs, for example, the first stock there, it's a $4.4 billion business, but 60% of that business is owned by a founding family, and so therefore it's not in the index. In our view, it would make a great potential investment for any micro cap or small cap stock because it's an illiquid stock, but it is a very big stock. But as you can see there from the shareholder return, they've generated almost 14% per annum for 3 years. M&F has generated almost a 20% return, a $400 million company. That means it wouldn't be an allowable investment under the current CTN management agreement. And because of that, you've missed out on 20% per annum. But once again, if you look at the shares on issue and the management ownership is 35%. So once again, it's in a liquid position and it's very much a micro cap in our view. And a final example there being Moelis, so a stock that's returned almost 90% since listing, $850 million, 17% owned by the CEO, almost 80% owned by the CEO and staff. It's an ideal micro cap investment for us. And we feel that, you know, just looking at stocks by market cap is a very blunt instrument, and I think it derives people of a significant amount of opportunity on the ASX. And what we're trying to do is the best investment for us are ones that start small and finish large, but obviously you don't want to sell yourself short and you don't want to be forced to sell your winners too soon, because often once they go past a certain inflection point, that's where you can generate a lot of your returns, and I think that's what's hampered the performance of CTN now for many years. Many people ask us, how do we get to our investment universe? There's 1,400 stocks listed on the ASX and the market cap greater of 10 million. There's about 660 that, once you exclude mining and oil and gas and companies with no revenue. The point is, if you look at that 660, in my view, there are many businesses that are not investment grade. But when we run 10 to 15 or 10 to 20 stocks, you have to be very selective. And often you're investing in businesses that we feel are of higher quality and operate with much higher chance of building strong, sustainable shareholder returns. The three LICs that we now run, being NCC, CTN and NAC, what makes them different is just purely the size of companies that they invest in. So NCC generally invests in companies with a $100 million market cap, CTN's roughly $250 million, and NAC's over half a billion. But to give an example, when I inherited the CTN portfolio 3 weeks ago, the average market cap was about 250 million. There were some companies with market caps of 800 million or 900 million, for example. So our investment philosophy and our investment universe will be exactly the same as what it is today and what it has been, but we just want the ability to hold on to our winners longer and obviously invest in some slightly larger businesses that may not be as liquid as others. On slide 14, it just looks at what we believe is our unique proposition, our investment process and philosophy, and it's six simple points. You know, we only invest in businesses with existing revenue streams. We don't invest in businesses that are pre-revenue. They have to have revenue. We look for businesses then that with their ability to drive revenue growth or margin growth through that revenue base. And then the third point is they must have balance sheet flexibility. You know, the top three investments in NCC, for example, all have net cash balance sheets. So yes, we may run a concentrated portfolio and some people say, well, that's higher risk. But if you look at the underlying investments and their balance sheets associated with that and the type of businesses that they are, I would strongly argue that we're much lower risk compared to many of our peers. You can have 50 investments, and if they're all geared, chances are you could be very much more risky than a portfolio with 15 more conservative investments. Our big advantage, because we only operate in LICs, is that we can take much more longer-term positions than many of our unlisted peers. You know, some of our investments we've owned for up to 5 years, and it allows us to take a long-term view on management and the opportunity in front of them, and hopefully that generates strong shareholder returns. Just like our own investments in our LICs, we look for management teams that have a lot of skin in the game in regards to their own businesses. If you look at a lot of our top investments, the CEOs, the management teams, the board, the founders tend to have a lot of skin in the game still. And that's what we like, because ultimately they are a big beneficiary of a rising share price, but then they obviously hurt with a falling share price. And then the last point is we only focus on our core competencies. You know, we're not going to be investors in lithium stocks or iron ore stocks or pre-revenue, you know, drone shield type stocks. We invest in quasi-industrial businesses where we have our head around the type of industry, the type of business, the thematics at play. We have a very good understanding of that business and hopefully what levers that can be pulled to drive shareholder value over the longer term. If it's boring, then so be it, but we feel it's a much better way to generate strong risk-adjusted returns as opposed to using a scattergun approach across many, many different industries. On slide 15 here, it just looks at, you know, this is NCC and the top five stocks that have generated the most return since its inception of 5 years ago. So all I would highlight is obviously the type of businesses. You can see they're all industrial type businesses. The length that they've been in the portfolio, so many of them have been in there for a very long time, so we're very consistent with that. And then obviously the type of return that they've generated. If you have a good investment in a sizable or reasonable size, you can generate a significant return for your shareholders, and that's what we've been able to do. And it's been very consistent. We don't chop and change. We tend to talk about our stocks many, many times throughout a single year, and we are very pure in our exposure into micro-cap industrial-type companies. Slide 16, and something that, you know, probably has a little bit of difference compared to a few other fund managers, is our ESG policy. So we have a policy of, you know, investing in businesses that we believe have a strong environmental, social and governance policy. And a lot of people say, well, how can this affect my performance? You know, why has it got anything to do with performance of the fund? And I think it's important to note that, you know, many people would understand that ESG is coming much to the forefront of all investments and businesses and people and consumers and suppliers and everyone. And a good example of that is we have a big shareholding in Big River, which is a building supplies business in Australia. They also manufacture a formwork, which is from timber. And many people say, well, how is that ESG applicable? And how does it play into the investment process? But, you know, they source all of their timber from government-owned plantations that are sustainable. That helps them when they tender on large infrastructure projects because they're Australian made from sustainable sources. You know, they're one of the top five employers in both the Grafton and Wagga Wagga regions. They've been a significant donor to the Westpac, you know, life-saving helicopter fleet. They're a significant donor for a lot of local government and council events, and I suppose local town events. And what that means for them and what we've found with their customer base is the customer base is very loyal. They're often the first call and large tenders because of those, I suppose taxpayers' dollars looking to be used on large national infrastructure projects. They're often the first call on a tender as well. And it gives them a massive competitive advantage compared to many of their peers. Even though people may look at the short-term expense, I think the long-term gain is significant. On slide 17, you know, often some people, I think, made the comment as well, you know, you can own a stock for many, many years. Why not trade around? And I think this slide 17 shows you the reason why we don't. You know, this is the price of MNF. So I think it's $5.50 on this chart, but today it was $6.30. The point is, if you look at all the peaks and troughs in that share price graph, if you try to trade around those, you simply have no competitive advantage to try and pick the tops and pick the bottoms. What we've been able to do is really pick how the business is going and gain a good understanding of the trajectory of the business, its opportunity, its revenue streams, its ability to reinvest into further competitive advantage, and back Rene, who's the CEO, and his management team. And that's what we've been done. It's been one of our best investments to date. We try to focus on what we can control and what we understand, not share prices as they rise and as they fall, because often share prices can be extremely reactive, and that's because they're traded daily. It can change human psychology an awful lot. And on that slide, the next slide from Warren Buffett, I think it makes a very good point that, you know, people treat their property investments very differently to their equity investments. And the reason that is the case is because equity investments are traded daily, obviously for between 10 and 4. And obviously we get many phone calls when you say the share price is down 5% or it's down 8%, but no one tells you when their property prices have fallen on a daily basis. And that is a big difference. We try to use that to our advantage so we can take advantage of effectively mispriced opportunities in the short term to make long-term gains. On point two, a sustainable growing dividend policy. This is something that we wish to bring to the CTN over the longer term. I think something that's been missing for many years. As we will have a significant industrial exposure, many of our companies will pay dividends, which we think we can then pass on to shareholders. That is a big difference from this portfolio compared to the one that has been run previously. You know, we want to be able to frank our shares up to 100% for all shareholders. If we have franking credits paid to us, then obviously we can on-pay them to all of our shareholders. And the third point is one that's not talked about very often, but we want to build a dividend reserve account. Obviously, dividends are paid out of profit reserves accounts for LICs. If you don't build a reserve account and you just pay the most you can every year, then obviously when you have a year when you don't perform or you underperform, then that means that there's no dividend for that year. If you look at NCC, for example, on slide 20, that looks at our dividend profile, our history. So that's the dividends we've paid every year since 2013. It's grown every year. It's been fully franked every year. And we have a dividend reserve account that would last almost 3 years at 7 cents. So we could almost pay 7 cents per annum without 1% further of any portfolio performance. And that is a big difference compared to us. We haven't paid the most possible. We've been trying to build a brand and build a reputation and build a strong dividend reserve account so we can continue to build predictable dividend streams for our investors, because that's what their want is, and that's what they expect from their board and from their LIC. Just a quote here from George Soros. I was told it was a boring investment call a few months ago because I didn't talk about mining stocks or lithium stocks specifically. And sometimes investing will be boring. Sometimes we will stay in the same business for many years. If you look at the NCC annual report, you'll notice we have probably only had two new investments over 12 months. We're big believers that once you invest in a good thing, you should run with it. You should let your returns compound over time. The worst thing you can do as an investor is trade out and then look for the next best thing, because often the next best thing is really the thing that you owned before. So we're big believers of long-term compounding investing. On slide three, closing the NTA discount is a big point, a big topic for all shareholders. And I think there's a few things that, some changes can be made here and obviously relayed to all shareholders. And the first one is we won't be doing any diluted dividend reinvestment plan. I know CPN did a dividend reinvestment plan recently at the same time of doing a buyback. So they issued shares at a discount and then bought them through the buyback. If you look at our other two LICs, we buy the shares for a DRP on market if it's below NTA, so it eliminates any dilution. That's what we would like to implement in this LIC as well. We've never done a diluted capital raising for our other two LICs. That is, we've never issued shares below NTA. And that is something we would seek to do at CTN as well. You know, if we're large shareholders in this business, there's no point in issuing shares below NTA because it puts pressure on the share price and obviously brings the shares to a much lower value. Then the third point is we want to really increase the market awareness and transparency. Obviously, I've probably spoken to about half the shareholder base over the past 3 weeks. You know, we'd like to build the shareholder base, you know, take on a lot of feedback and try and build out more effective and transparent communications on CTN for all current shareholders and hopefully potentially new shareholders. On slide 23, this just, I think, you know, visualises the point I was making about the health of an LIC, and it's, I suppose, you can see that through shareholder numbers. This chart looks at NCC, and it's the share price, NTA, and the number of shareholders. And you can see NCC many years ago traded at a discount to NTA, but over time we've been able to change that, and today it trades at a premium. And as you can see, in October 14, we only had it roughly about, I think, 700 or 600 shareholders, and today we have about almost 2,000 shareholders. If you can't increase your shareholder base and people aren't buying your shares, then the discount will never close. We release this type of information every half year, I believe. We are very transparent in regards to our, you know, numbers of shareholders and the effectiveness of our communication strategy, and that's something that we want to do with CTN as well. A good slide to get stuck talking into fees, and it says, show me the incentive and I'll show you the outcome. And I'm a big believer in this because I know some people have thoughts on performance fees versus just management fees, but I think it's important that we are a fund manager that is focused on performance. We've said that we'll close our two LICs once they reach a certain size. So NCC, we're going to cap at $150 million. And the reason why we're going to minimise or, you know, I suppose, stop the amount of money that we'll raise in our LICs is because we want to be small enough to be nimble and to have significant performance over the longer term. We don't want to be big for the sake of being big. We want to be able to build and deliver consistent returns across all of our three LICs. And that does set us apart from many of our peers, because we have publicly said that we will minimise the size of some of our LICs because we want to maximise the potential for performance. And on slide 25, and I think it shows you two types of fund managers. You have one fund manager that just charges a management fee and is driven by getting their funds management business to be much bigger over time and obviously has leverage off the management fee. And then you have another type of fund manager that's driven by performance fees and alignment with shareholders. So as I said, we're the largest shareholders in our other two LICs, and yes, we have performance fees on our other two LICs and on, hopefully on this one as well. But it very much aligns us with the share price and the portfolio performance. So we are driven to perform and get the share price up. On slide 26, this just looks at, I know, a graph of the three directors of NCC, their initial shareholding 5 years ago and their shareholding today. As you can see, we've increased our shareholding significantly over that journey. They've all been acquired on market and there haven't been any free options or anything like that. These shares have been acquired with after-tax dollars and it very much aligns us with shareholders. As you can see there, Warwick Evans and Sebastian, myself, have acquired shares in CTN recently. Someone made the point that obviously, you know, these are insignificant compared to your other NAOS shareholdings. But I would make the point that we are unable to acquire shares before the AGM, leading up this close to the AGM. But you can guarantee that both myself and Warwick, and I'm sure other directors, will be buying shares post the AGM. On slide 27, it just looks at our shareholdings in MCC and NAC as a percentage of the total shares on issue, and as you can see, they are very significant. And then finally, to finish on, I suppose, the slides on investing, and I think this is the most important point. And for me, I wish it was the focus of everyone's presentation and, you know, of all shareholders. And it is what you will get from NAOS is that we will be focused on value. So we're focused on the type of stocks we will be investing in that we believe represent value and will deliver strong long-term outperformance. You know, investing in small caps and micro caps means you have to be patient, but if you believe you're investing in an undervalued business, often the last thing to change is the share price. So you have to really stick to your beliefs, stick to your process, stick to your philosophy, and over time the share price will re-rate accordingly, and that's what you want to bring to CTN and the type of portfolio that we're seeking to build. On slide 29, it just looks at the different ways you can stay in touch with NAOS. As you can see, we do a weekly newsletter that's just CEO quotes, so we just simply quote a number of notable CEOs both domestically and around the world. We do a quarterly conference call just like this with Q&A for all three of our LICs. We do a monthly investment report and NTA, which we believe is extremely transparent and quite detailed. We obviously have our website, and we also do a twice yearly national roadshow for all of our shareholders and everyone which wishes to join us. Obviously, on slide 30, there's people would be aware there's an AGM coming up on the 28th. Obviously, we've had some feedback that we're wishing to change the name of Contango Microcap to the NAOS Small Cap Opportunities Company. And I think, you know, people have asked, you know, what is the reason for that? And I think the main reason is, obviously, CTN being around for as long as it has, and I suppose some of the issues that have had over those many years, we're really trying to cut off the past, and we're really trying to focus on the future, and the future that we believe we can deliver strong shareholder returns. We think this is an excellent way to do this by changing the name. Now, I suppose I'm drawing a line in the sand and looking forward. Just in regards to Q&A, I've got a couple of questions here that I'll run through first before I go to everyone else. So you'll have to bear with me. And I'll try and cover off as much as I can. So the first question relates to the management rights and how they're being able to be sold to NAOS, and this is a very good question. Obviously, the management rights are the rights of the manager, being Contango Asset Management. They had the ability to assign that agreement to a new manager with the approval of the CTN board, and that's what has taken place. I know that management agreement, which had that clause, was signed by obviously David Stevens and Glenn Fowles and Ian Ferris a number of years ago, and that's how this agreement's been able to be assigned to NAOS, albeit we are paying $12.5 million for that privilege. Just some more questions. And, you know, it relates to the CTN costs. You know, there's a question here in regards to, obviously, the CTN vehicle has had a very high cost structure for many years, especially in regards to director's fees. What is NAOS going to do about that? Obviously, I represent the manager, though I am on the board as well. If you look at our two LICs, I think our director's fees, for example, are about $45,000 between three people. We believe in a very much an aligned board, a low-cost board, but very much an experienced board, and that is something we wish to believe bring to NAOS as well, and to CTN as well, my apologies. And as I said, you know, with in-house legal, in-house CFO, a lot of the cost is being borne by NAOS, so we believe we can bring the CTN management expense ratio down significantly. And as large shareholders, we are very much aligned to do that. There's a question in regards to the portfolio and how quickly we've been able to obviously change that portfolio. Recently, I said we've increased the cash weighting to about 41%. I'm pleased to tell people that we've reduced the amount of holdings from 85 to about 31 as of today, and we're very happy with the investments that we have. And as I've told everyone, we want to start with a portfolio that is very much how we want it, or as close as we can to getting it by the 1st of December post the AGM. Just a question on the management agreement and the term. I know there's been comments made that this is a 15-year agreement, and I just want to make this very clear. So initially, it's a 5-year agreement. We've applied to the ASX to make this a 10-year agreement. So it will be a 10-year agreement if that approval is sought and approved. It's also worth saying that many LICs, such as Wilson's, Magellan, many other LICs, they get 10-year agreements on IPO as well. It's also worth noting that when CTN listed in 2004, it was given a 10-year agreement with a performance fee as well. Um, And just, I suppose, another call just in regards to the portfolio and what sort of cash weighting will we be seeking to hold. So obviously, the cash weighting is roughly about 45%. One thing that sets NAOS and CTN apart is under our list, we can actually own have 100% in cash. Under CTN, it has to be 50% in cash. So your ability to protect the downside is hamstrung a little bit. But I think the way I see this portfolio taking shape and forming over time is we'd look to reduce the cash weighting anywhere between 30 to 20% over the short term. And then it would really be a function of, I suppose, the amount of adequate investments that we can find and the cash that then obviously over time that we can use in regards to finding new investments. But I think, you know, the way I would see is you would see the cash weighting plateauing around here. And then obviously we'll look to change some of the holdings into more holdings that we would be comfortable owning for the longer term. So with that, I'll open up the call to questions. Thanks, Claire.
Thanks very much.